This is an audio recording of the summer 2016 9th through 12th grade sisters conference held in Richardson, Texas. The progress of the church in seven stages. Saturday, August 6th, second morning meeting. Message 6, the church in Philadelphia.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is my first sisters conference. It's great to be here. My name is Paul Doyle. And I meet with the church in Irving, just like Brother Tim. And this is actually my first time to be with the church in Richardson as well. So it's so great to be here. This is such a lovely hall. And like I said, it's great to be with you sisters. I've been very encouraged by your singing, by your praising, your prayer reading. It's very, very encouraging.
Amen.
Thank you all. So let's turn to outline 6. Outline 6. Which is going to be covering the church in Philadelphia.
Amen.
The church in Philadelphia is a prediction of the church of brotherly love.
Amen.
It's a prediction of the church of brotherly love.
Amen.
Brotherly love.
Amen.
Okay, so before I'll get into the message, let's read the verses. Everything that we share is based on God's word. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord told us that in our Christian life we are building. But it really depends, what are you building upon? What kind of foundation do you have? And he likens having a foundation without the word, it's like sand.
Right.
It'll just sink. It's not a stable foundation. But he likens the word to a rock.
Amen.
A strong, sturdy rock.
Amen.
Upon which we can build.
Amen.
So these verses in Revelation, this is our rock.
Amen.
This is what we build our Christian life on.
Right.
So let's read these verses. This is where we get everything.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Let's all read it together.
And to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says the Holy One, the true One, the One who has the key of David, the One who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens.
Amen.
I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut.
Amen.
Because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, those who call themselves Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and fall prostrate before your feet, and to know that I have loved you.
Amen.
Because you have kept my word of my endurance, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial, which is about to come on the whole inhabited earth, to try them who dwell on the earth. I come quickly.
Amen.
Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, him I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall by no means go out anymore. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The word of God.
Amen. Amen.
So there's a lot here.
Yeah.
The Lord had a lot to say to Philadelphia.
Amen.
A lot of good things to say.
Yeah.
So the church in Philadelphia, this was an actual church. Philadelphia was a city in Asia Minor. The Lord wrote this sixth epistle to the church in Philadelphia, and they were in a certain condition at that time. But like the brothers have been sharing, this also has a prophetic significance. So it's not just a letter to a literal church, but it has prophetic significance.
Amen.
And like I said earlier, it is a prediction of the church of brotherly love.
Amen.
So our brother Obi just told us about the church in Sardis, which prefigured the Reformation, right? The Protestant churches. They saw Roman Catholicism. They saw the idolatry. They saw the apostate church. Remember that word, apostate? Imposter, rebellious, right? It was deviating from the word. So they saw that, and there was a reaction. There was a reaction. Oh, wow. Luther found the Bible and started reading the Bible, and there was a reaction in that brother, and then others followed him to react against the Catholic Church. And so they left that, and they began standing on God's word regarding justification by faith, things like this. Faith in his blood, not in idols, not in a rosary, not in indulgences, but faith in his blood. But the sad part, the very sad history of Sardis is that though they recovered some things, they began to divide. They began to divide. And what's really interesting is that Sardis started with the justification by faith. They started with that. And then they kind of continued to progress little by little in seeing more things. But with each new seeing of the truth that's in the Word of God that we love so much, with each new seeing, there was a new division. So it's really strange. It's a real strange progression. On the one hand, there's a progression. On the other hand, there's more division. And we know that the Lord, before he died on the cross, what was he praying for? He was praying that his people would be one. Amen. He said, Father, that they would be one, even as you and I are one. And then he prayed that the world may believe. It wasn't just a, hey, we're one, You know, you meet over there. You know, meet over here with Obi. You know, you stay there. We're one, though. No, this was a oneness that the world, if they saw it, they would go, wow. They would believe. They would believe. So, this was the situation in Sardis. There was some recovering, but there was division. And so the brothers, some brothers in England, in the early part of the 19th century, it was in the 1800s, they saw this. They saw this matter of the divisions, and they left it. They dropped it. They came from a lot of different backgrounds, and they saw what the Lord stood for, what he prayed for, what was on his heart. And because of that, like Brother Obi was sharing, they cooperated. Amen. They cooperated with the Lord's word. Amen. And despite what others may have thought about them, despite of their natural disposition, their preferences, they dropped the denominational divisive names to meet together in oneness. Amen. Which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this is what this is was typified by the church in Philadelphia. Amen. So this is the brethren in England, okay? This is the brethren. In Philadelphia, the name itself is very significant. Philadelphia means brotherly love. Amen. What does Philadelphia mean?
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. And remember, this prefigures the recovered church. So let's just go back again to Ephesus. What was the problem with Ephesus? Yes, they lost their first love. They left their first love. They left their first love, and then all of this happened, this fall, all the way, like Obi said, to the deep things of Satan. So they had this fall from leaving the first love. But isn't it interesting that the recovered church, the recovered church's name means brotherly love.
Right. Amen.
The name of Philadelphia ties back to Ephesus.
Right.
What their problem was and what they lost.
Right.
This ties back to this matter of love.
Yeah.
Our brother Lee, he told us, because it's so clear in the Bible, only love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord, and also with one another, with the brothers and with the sisters.
Right.
And so then even just the name, I haven't even gotten into the verses yet, and to explain the verses, I'm just talking about the name, Philadelphia.
Right.
just the name Philadelphia shows us that the way for us today to be in the recovered church, to be in the reality of recovery, the way for us is to have our love for the Lord recovered.
Amen.
And to have our love for the Lord strengthened.
Amen.
And to have our love for one another recovered and strengthened.
Amen.
So the way to be recovered is altogether a matter of love. Our love for the Lord and also our love for His body with His fellow members. So like I said in point Roman numeral 1 and D, the proper church life. This symbolizes the proper church life recovered by the brothers in England to be the church of brotherly love. It was a reaction to the dead Reformed church. They were not only divided, but they were dead.
Right.
And if you cut something off in the body, it dies, right? Right? And so this was, in point E, this was a reaction. This was a continued reaction. And this church was to be an anti-testimony. Not only to Sardis, but also to the apostate Catholic Church. So it was a reaction not only to Sardis, but even all the way back to apostate Catholicism.
Right.
So we have a dual reaction to the apostate Catholicism and the degraded, dead, divided Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
And because it tells us in verse 11 of Revelation 3, I come quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I come quickly. This shows that this church that is prefigured, the recovered church, this church will continue until the Lord comes back. Praise the Lord. The Lord is coming.
Amen.
He's coming quickly.
Yes. Amen.
So now we'll go to Roman numeral 2.
Amen.
The prophetic characteristics of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wonderful that, like the brothers have been sharing, in each epistle to each church, the Lord, He tells them something about Himself. He reveals something new and fresh about Himself. And that revelation of who the Lord is oftentimes the answer to their problems and their issues.
Yeah.
And in Philadelphia, it's interesting, there's no, at least here in this epistle, there's no issue that the Lord addresses.
Right.
But He still gives a fresh revelation of who He is.
Amen.
And I think this is very significant. We'll get into this. In verse 7, he says, and to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says the Holy One, the true One, the One who has the key of David, the One who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens.
Amen.
So I would say, while there's no problem that's addressed to the church, I would say that these aspects of what the Lord is talking about here, about Himself, this is something that we experience and enjoy. This is something that is characteristic of the recovered church, and I'll explain.
Amen.
First of all, the Lord says, these things says the Holy One.
Yeah.
The Holy One. Holy denotes God's nature. He is holy.
Mm-hmm.
He is separate. He's distinct. He is different from everyone else.
Amen.
He is the Lord Jesus. He's the Holy One.
Amen.
But, I'll take you further. In my Bible reading, just my regular Bible reading, isn't it wonderful to read the Bible?
Amen.
Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be reading a lot of verses, so keep your Bibles handy. And we'll also get into the Old Testament a little too. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the first half. What's my burden in this verse, the first half. Okay, let's read it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So, isn't it so good? Have you ever wondered, what is the will of God? What is His will? What does He want? What's on His heart? Sisters, here it is. Isn't it great? He tells you right here, this is the will of God.
Amen.
Your sanctification. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Let's read it all together. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love. So what is God's will? God's will is your sanctification. What does that mean? That means that you would be holy. Okay, think about this. If the Lord is the, capital H, Holy One, and God the Father chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy, what does that mean? That means that God's will is that he would dispense himself as the Holy One into your tripartite being. He would saturate and fill your spirit with his holy life and nature, and that he would spread out to your mind, emotion, and will, and eventually to your bodies.
Amen.
That you would be holy as he is holy, that you would be without blemish before him in love. There's that word love again. See, it's in love that we're sanctified. It's in this loving relationship that we are filled with the Lord as the Holy One, and that we are becoming him in life and in nature. This is something that is very, it's something that's very prominent or prevalent in the Lord's recovery, because there are actually a lot of Christians who not only do they not believe this, but they would even oppose this. They would say, no, by no means. God would never, he would never stoop so low to put his life into you. You're adopted. You're an adopted child. That's what the Bible meant. You're adopted. They don't believe that God put his life in you. There's a lot of dear Christians. They're real Christians. They believe in the Lord. They love the Lord. They believe he died for them. They rose from the dead. But they, by no means, they just refuse it. But we in the Lord's recovery, don't you hear about this a lot? God's dispensing. God's will is to fill. God's will is to fill you with himself, that you would be holy. So this is what we have in the recovered church. He's the Holy One. And we're becoming holy.
Amen.
And then it says, he's the true one.
Amen.
He is the true one. Mm-hmm. The Lord says later on in this epistle, he says, hold fast what you have. There's no issues or problems that are addressed, but he does tell them, what you have, you need to hold fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in order to do that, we need to experience the Lord as the true one.
Amen.
He's the true one. I'm not the true one. You're not the true one. He's the true one. He's the faithful one.
Amen.
And as we love, touch, and enjoy this true faithful one,
Amen.
We become his reproduction.
Amen.
We can be true faithful, true and faithful to the Lord
Amen.
For his testimony. And I was also impressed in my praying over this verse regarding the true one. You know, in the recovered church, we have a particular Christ. We have a particular Christ. We have the true Christ. Because in Catholicism and in the Protestant churches, they have Christ. But a lot of the Christ that they have is just a partial Christ. And even a false Christ. Some of what they believe is just absolutely false. I grew up and I had the privilege of growing up in Catholicism, so I at least know, you know, what it's like. And, you know, in Catholicism, there's a lot of replacements for Christ. A lot of replacements. For example, can you believe this? They call Mary you know how the Lord is called? He's our Redeemer. He shed his blood on our behalf, and he's our Redeemer. He bought us back with the precious blood, with the price, the highest price, his precious blood. Well, they call Mary the co-redemptrix. I don't even know if I'm saying that word right. The co-redemptrix. She also is our kind of like our Redeemer, which is why they pray to her. They replace Christ. And they pray more to her than they do to him. They also say that if you need to go to God for something, whoa, hold on. You can't go to God directly. I mean, you need a mediator. You need Mary, the That's what they'll tell you. You need Mary. You need to go to Mary if you want to go to God. And you go to Mary, and she'll say a little prayer for you. You know, so you just talk to Mary, and you pray to Mary, and she'll say a little prayer for you, and that's your way to God. Is that what the Bible teaches?
No.
Who is the mediator in the Bible?
Man.
The man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sisters, we have the true one.
Amen.
We have the one who's the mediator. Going on from that, Protestantism, something that they oppose, not everyone, but some of them will oppose this matter of 1 Corinthians 15:45. Where the Lord Jesus, as the last Adam, he became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So our Lord, in the Lord's recovery, he is the life-giving spirit.
Yes.
Many in Protestantism will tell you, no, that's not the Lord. That's a spirit. That's just like there's a, you know, the Trinity is here, and then there's like a life-giving spirit over here, and, you know, you pray to them, but then the spirit of life comes and, No, we have the true one.
Amen.
We have the true one. We have the one who is the life-giving spirit.
Yes.
So that he is as available as the air that you are breathing right now.
Amen.
So you don't have to go to an outward place. You don't have to go to a priest dressed in robes. You have the true one.
Amen.
The one who is all-inclusive.
Amen.
And who is the reality of every positive thing. He's your real food.
Amen.
He's your real drink.
Amen.
He's your real breath.
Amen.
That you can breathe moment by moment. He's your bridegroom.
Amen.
Oh, don't we love our bridegroom?
Amen.
So this is the Christ that we have. We have the true one. The all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
And then the one who has the key of David. The one who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens. In this matter of the key of David, this is a matter of the kingdom. And this is for, the Lord has the key of David for his dealing with his church and also for his move on the earth.
Right.
It says that he opens and no one will shut. And he shuts and no one opens. If you read the footnotes in this section, it's very good. Our brother points out that because the church has certain characteristics, the Lord has granted her an open door to the whole world. It's amazing. The local churches today are in every continent, every inhabitable continent. We even have a church in Jerusalem. Can you believe it? When the Lord returns on the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a local church there. Isn't that great? There's an open door to the Lord's recovery. And then he tells them, I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one could shut. And then if you have the highlighter that Brother Tom gave you, please highlight, because. He wasn't arbitrarily just, let's see, Philadelphia, sure, why not, give them an open door. No. He gave this church, the recovered church, an open door. Because you have a little power. That's the first aspect. You have a little power.
Amen.
He doesn't say, you don't have any power. Nor does he say, wow, you guys are the strongest church, so I'm going to give you the open door. You guys have tons of power. Wow, so impressed. No, he doesn't say that either. He says, you have a little power. And that shows that the recovered church may not necessarily be the most powerful, but they have a little power. And with that little power that the Lord has entrusted to us, we should be faithful to the Lord, to keep what we have and to be faithful to Him. So the goal in our Christian life, the goal in our coming to this conference, the goal of our being in the church life, is not that we would become spiritual giants. It's not that we would be the world's strongest Christians. But it's that we would at least have a little power and we would be faithful and hold fast to what we have. The power is important. The Bible talks a lot about power, especially in the New Testament. And let's turn to Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18:10. Okay, whoever has it, go.
The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe.
Let's read it again.
The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe.
You know, there's a lot of verses similar to this one. But you know what's very characteristic of the recovered church is they love the Lord's name.
Amen.
They love the Lord's name. Don't you love the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
The name of Jesus is a strong tower. It is a powerful name that shuts the enemy's mouth, that strengthens us, and it gives glory to God the Father.
Amen.
It is the name above all names.
Amen.
So sisters, we need more calling on the Lord's name. Calling on the Lord's name in the meetings and outside of the meetings, while we're driving, while we're in class. Listen, you're in class. You say, oh, I can't call on the Lord's name in class. I'm going to disturb class. You can. You can. Okay, look, I work at a company called NCH Corporation, and a lot of us are in little cubicles. A lot of us are in little cubicles. And if you do this, everyone will hear you. Listen. You sniff your nose. You go, everyone hears it. The whole half of that floor will hear it. Okay? So you talk about quiet in your class. I have quiet. Everyone's on the computers. Everyone's listening to everyone's conversations. If you're talking, everyone hears. And so what do? I call on the Lord. But not outwardly. I can't call on the Lord because I'll get fired. If I'm calling on the name of the Lord out loud, I will get fired. Someone will go to HR, human resources, and get me fired. But look, I can do this. They can't hear that. Because there is a wall. There's at least a wall, thankfully. I mean, like, you know, like a felt. I don't know what it is. Some kind of cloth material, a partition. I'm going... You know, I'm clicking on things, and maybe the computer's taking a long time. There's that circle that's going round and round. I'm waiting. There's that thing going. I'm like, come on. You can do that in your class, even under your breath, even to do that. Not just to think it, but just under your breath. It's releasing.
Amen.
It's releasing. When you're at home calling on the Lord, you know, we have that song, Jesus, oh, what a name. Oh, Lord Jesus, life-giving name,
amen.
Right? Name victorious,
amen.
Name all glorious, name exalted. Oh, what a name, Jesus, strengthening name. Strengthening name.
Amen.
It is a strengthening name. So to have power to what we have, to hold fast to what we have, there needs to be more calling. This should not be a common, you know, mundane thing. But from the depths of our being, exercising our spirit, sisters, with a turned heart to the Lord, and with your mouth, even if it's just so quiet, even that means a lot. So we need more calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We also need more praising.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 8:2. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Okay, go.
Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have established strength because of your adversaries to stop the enemy and the avenger.
So isn't that good? Out of the mouths of the mighty men of David. Out of the mouths of the sharing brothers, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Sisters, we don't have to be anything special. We don't have to be anything special. But we can establish strength by being simple. A babe and a suckling. I have a baby. I have two children. One of them is almost 11 months. And it's just so simple. Just so simple. They're just very simple little creatures. Yeah. And it says, out of the mouths of these babes and sucklings, simple ones, you have established strength. Amen. But when the Lord quotes it, when the Lord quotes it in Matthew 21:16, this is the verse in the New Testament, he quotes this. But when he quotes it, he quotes from the Septuagint, I believe. He says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, they have perfected praise. So you see there, to established strength is perfected praise.
Amen.
So strength, we get strength from our praising the Lord.
Amen.
We need more praising of the Lord. Not just in the meetings, but also in our daily life. Same thing in my cubicle. I'm learning to pray. I have a lot more to learn, but I'm still learning to praise the Lord. Some of my most enjoyable times during the day is just, I mean, seriously, like 5 seconds, 5 or 10 seconds. I'll be doing work. Let's take a little say. I'm just praising the Lord. No one can hear. I'm praising the Lord for what he did for me, and especially for who he is.
Amen.
All that he is to me. He's the Lord of lords.
Amen.
He's the King of kings. Amen. He's the Almighty God.
Amen.
Who is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And he's living in me, and I'm in him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord for so many things like this.
Yeah.
And it is so strengthening. It strengthens you to what? Stand against the enemy. And it strengthens you to hold fast to what the Lord has given you, so that you would not lose heart. The Lord said in 2 Timothy, he says that he gave us a spirit of power. Even your spirit, your regenerated spirit, is a spirit not of cowardice,
Amen.
But of power.
Amen.
So whether it's calling on the Lord's name or whether it's praising, it could be singing. It could be rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is our strength, sisters.
Amen.
It could be being with your companions, speaking to one another, reading,
Amen.
Thanking the Lord, mm-hmm. serving. In all of these ways, we can exercise our spirit of power
Amen.
To be infused with the Lord himself.
Amen.
We would have at least a little power.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on to the next point. They have a little power. I'm in B3 now. And what was so special about this church was they kept the Lord's word. This, sisters, is huge. This is huge. This is not a small thing. It is so crucial. It's so important. Because, look, the Bible was written, you know, many, many years ago. The Catholic Church, they had the Bible. They actually had it locked up, away from the common people. So they had it, but they didn't keep it. So it shows that you could have the Bible in your hand.
Right.
Right? You can have the Bible in your hand with the Word of God right there, and you can still not keep it. Wow. So we need to ask, how can we keep? Maybe. Don't you want to know, how can we keep the Lord's Word? How do we keep the Lord's Word? It's there. We're not in the 1100s, where we're the common people, and we don't speak Latin, and you know the Bible's locked up. We can't. No, it's right here. It's on our phones. So how do we keep it? Okay, I'd like two sisters to come up as an example. Two brave sisters. One. Just two sisters. That's good. Or three. Okay. Sisters, what is your name?
Abby.
Abby and?
Prisca.
Prisca. Very nice to meet y'all. Okay, I have a word. I have a word for Abby and Prisca. Okay, here it is. Don't open it, though. Okay. All right. They have the word. Abby, Prisca, why aren't you keeping my word? Oh, say that louder.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. She has it in her hand. Okay, now you can open it. You can read it to everyone, and then you can keep my word.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My word was to say hallelujah three times. That was just my word to them. But they had it, but they weren't keeping it. They hadn't read it. Thank you, sisters. Thank you. Okay, what is my point? I don't know. It's very simple. It's very elementary. The point is we need to read the Bible. I mean, how can you keep the word if you don't even know it? I mean, you can claim ignorance, but I mean, come on. The Lord's not going to, you know, clear you fully for that. I mean, you have to read the word. And my experience, sisters, I read the Bible just about every day. Very rarely do I miss a day. And it's been my practice for a long time, been reading the Bible. One thing that really helped me to read the Bible, I try to read the Old Testament and the New Testament every day. And it was so good. It was so helpful for me to read the Bible in twos and threes. And not even necessarily together, because I have a certain schedule. I have children, and then there's another brother. He has children. He has a certain work schedule, and then there's another brother who's in school. We all have different schedules. So we didn't even read together, but we shared our Bible reading with one another, and we were accountable to one another. So this is just, you don't have to do this. I'm just sharing. This helped me. Even just to be with companions and say, hey, so-and-so, let's do this. I want to read the Bible every day. Let's try this. And let's help each other. Let's be accountable. Right? And then you would see. We would see, oh, so-and-so's has read in a couple days. Let's pray for that brother. And that helped me. It helped me because we need to be accountable not only to the Lord personally, but also to one another. And we are not meant to have merely a relationship just with the Lord, and that's it. But we were meant to have a relationship with the Lord and with one another. So when you're accountable to the Lord and also to one another, it's a real strengthening. Amen. This helped me to have a consistent reading of the Word. But you can read the Word. Here's the next thing. You can read the Word and still not keep it. You still not keep it. Let's turn to John 5, 39 and 40. John chapter 5, 39 and 40. John 5, 39 and 40. Okay, go. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that testify concerning me. Yet you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wow. So there were these people called Pharisees. Oh, wow. Whoa, they sure had a... Their checklist of reading the Bible was full. They didn't miss a day, I'm sure. But they did not come to the Lord in the reading of the Word. So they knew the Word outwardly, but they were missing this one thing. The Lord said, you do not come to me. Did you know the Lord is called the capital W Word? Yeah. He's the Word. What are you doing coming to this lowercase W Word without coming to the capital W Word? Oh, you're missing out. You're really missing out. Right. If we don't come to the Word of God, Christ, in the written Word, then we're going to miss out a lot. And so that's why in the Lord's recovery, we have a special portion of how to keep the Word by pre-reading the Word. Because when you read the words on that page, you can convert those words written on the page. You can convert them into your personal prayer to the Lord. And when you do that, you get fed. You get infused. You get shined on. And you get what is called in the New Testament the Rhema word. That is the spoken instant word. Amen. That the Lord speaks through the written word. It's the life-giving word that He speaks to your heart and to your spirit. Amen. That you get. So we need to come to the Word, the Lord Jesus in the Word.
Amen.
So I'd like to use my brother Obi. My brother Obi as an example. I love my brother. I'm going to feed my brother. Okay. So this is a Mr. Good Bar. Yes, haven't had one of these in a while. Mr. Good Bar, I found this out there. It wasn't on the floor. on the table. Don't worry, brother. Mr. Goodbar. So I'm going to give this to Obi. And I'd like Obi to keep it. Just keep it, brother. I gave Obi, I love my brother, but what time is it? It's 12. I am a little hungry. If you don't mind, I'd just like to take it back. Thank you. So Obi was keeping the Mr. Goodbar, but it got taken from him. Right?
Yeah.
It got taken from him. I changed my mind. I got a little hungry. Okay. Poor brother. I'll give him Mr. Goodbar back, but now Brother Obi's going to eat it. He's going to eat it. He's going to devour. Oh. When is lunchtime, brothers? Lunchtime is...
12:30.
Yeah, I... Can't have it back. If you want to keep the word, you need to eat the word.
Amen.
Eating the word is the way to keep the word.
Amen.
Thank you. Because if you have the word in your hand, you can have the right tie on, the right dress on, the Bible in your hand, but if you're not eating it, oh, it can get taken from you. Actually, the enemy is described as birds coming, flying around to take the word off of your heart in Matthew chapter 13. He's trying to take the word, but sisters, if you eat the word, sorry, it's you. It became a part of you. That Mr. Goodbar, sayonara. It's a part of Obi. It's being digested and assimilated, and now Obi is a constitution of Mr. Goodbar, and I can't take it back, no matter how much I want it. So he ate it. So sisters, let's eat the word.
Amen.
Keep the word by eating the word, and then lastly, your keeping is also a matter of cooperating with the word and obeying the word. It's like, it would be like, you pray, read a verse about thanking the Lord. You go, oh, amen, Lord Jesus. And everything gives thanks. Amen, Lord Jesus. And everything may I give thanks. And everything. And then you get the call. It's your mom. I'd like you to do the dishes when you get home. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have to cooperate. You have to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Learn to thank the Lord. This is just an example.
Yeah.
But it's like the Lord isn't there just to feed us so that we're, you know, happy. And He wants us to actually keep it and obey it. But the way that we obey it is not by ourselves. It's not in our own strength. It's by eating the word.
Amen.
When you eat the word, you get strengthened and you get nourished. And the Lord Himself becomes our capacity to keep that word, to cooperate with it, and obey it. So this is something that was so striking to the church in Philadelphia. It was so striking to the recovered church.
Yes.
Because they were keeping the word, but apostate Catholicism was not keeping the word.
Right.
They may have had the Bible, yes, but they were not keeping the word historically. They had it, but they weren't keeping it.
Right.
So the recovered church, they took this strong stand to keep the Lord's word.
Amen.
And this is where we are today, brothers, sisters. This is where we are today, is to keep the Lord's word.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on to point three and have, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. point four, mm-hmm. and have not denied His name.
Mm-hmm.
They have not denied His name. This is another thing that is so characteristic of the Lord's recovery.
Right.
You know, we only have one name, and that is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is the name above all names.
Amen.
And in that name, every knee will bow.
Yeah.
And every tongue will openly confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. That's our name that we have. You know, the church in Richardson. Right now, we are the church in Richardson.
Yeah.
We're the church in Richardson. But, look, that's not our name.
No.
Sister, where are you from? Houston. So you meet with the church in Houston. Okay, the church in Houston is not the name. I meet with the church in Irving. The church in Irving is not the name. That is a description. So when people ask you, what is the name of your church? Well, the name is not the church in Irving or the church in Houston. That's just a description of who you are.
Yeah.
and where you are. You're the church of Jesus Christ in a particular city. And so the Bible gave us a very consistent pattern. In the New Testament, there's a very consistent, clear pattern of how to meet together in oneness and not deny the Lord's name.
Right.
Because apostate Catholicism was deviating from the Word. And then Sardis, the Protestant Reformation, they found the Word, and they tried to keep it at least somewhat, but then they became divided, and they took up names to denominate themselves from one another. I am a Lutheran. I follow Luther. And Obi is a Baptist. He believes strongly. Immersion. And then others are Wesleyan. Name themselves after Wesley. And others are Pentecostal. Others are Presbyterian. Naming themselves after the practice of the presbytery. So Christians began to denominate themselves.
Right.
Naming themselves after a certain brother or after a certain practice. And by, listen, this is the point, by taking another name,
that's right,
to distinguish yourself from one another is not only a division, it is also considered a kind of spiritual fornication in the eyes of the Lord. In the life study, our brother gives the example. If a brother, say Mr. Jones, he marries a sister, Mrs. Jones, and Mrs. Jones tells Mr. Jones one day, you know, Jones is, it just doesn't have a good ring to it. But Mrs. Smith, I like Mrs. Smith. I'll be married to you, but I'd like to be called Mrs. Smith from now on. How do you think that husband would feel about that? Would that make the husband happy? No, he would be angry and he would be jealous. The Lord is jealous over us. With the jealousy of a husband. So to take another name, even if it's a good name, Luther, good guy, sure. Wesley, good guy. Baptism, amen, I'm all for baptism. But to take it,
right,
to take it as a name other than Christ is a form of cheating on the Lord. It hurts him. It makes him jealous. And so in the Lord's recovery, we have been recovered to what we call the ground of oneness.
Amen.
The ground of oneness.
Amen.
That is where we drop all other names. We drop all of the names and we meet according to how the New Testament shows us to meet.
Right.
And that is on the ground of oneness. That is to meet as the church in your locality. That is the ground of the church, is the locality that we are in. A lot of people are taking other things as the ground.
Yeah.
They're taking a Luther, a person. They're taking baptism, a practice, as their ground.
Right.
But the Bible tells us from Acts all the way to Revelation.
Right.
It's consistent. It's the only way, mm-hmm, showing the Bible, is to meet as the church in your city. And by doing that, you keep yourself from taking another name that would cause a division between your brother.
Yeah.
And you remain faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
As your husband.
Amen.
This is why it's so critical. And it's such a precious thing, what
yeah
we have.
Yeah.
You know, when I came from Catholicism, and then I jumped out of that into Sardis. I jumped into the Protestant churches. After I got saved, I didn't know any better. I started meeting with Protestant churches. And then I met some brothers on campus, started having a Bible study. And I started seeing this matter of the ground of oneness. And thankfully, I wasn't loaded with a lot of doctrine or, you know, opinions. And when I saw this matter of the ground of oneness and all the patterns in the Bible of how the churches just simply met,
yeah,
not to try to be special, not to try to be different from everyone else, they just met as the church in that city. When I saw that, it was so clear, it was so simple, and I thought, wow, why isn't everyone else doing this? It's like right there.
Yes.
I mean, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul even says, you Corinthians,
yes,
some of you are saying that I'm of Paul.
Yeah.
And some are saying, well, I'm of Apollos. And others are saying, well, I'm of Cephas, you know, the first apostle. And then others are even saying, oh, I'm of Christ. But they were doing all of that in a divisive way.
Right.
And then Paul asked them this rhetorical question. Is Christ divided? You're taking these names. Is Christ divided?
No.
So it was so clear to me. So I did what a lot of people would do, young people would do, is I got on an internet forum. How much light do you think I got there? An internet forum. And a Christian internet forum. It was for like apologetics and stuff like that. So I wanted to see what they had to say because the brothers are telling me the church is supposed to be on the ground of oneness. And these brothers, I know they know the word. And then I'm seeing something else. I'm seeing something in the word and I'm seeing something else. Why doesn't it matter? So I asked them. I asked them on the internet forum. I said, I've been seeing something about the ground of oneness. It's pretty consistent. The church meets as the city, as the church in their city. What do y'all have to say about denominations? How do you explain that one? And they said, denominations? No. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing because it shows the diversity in the universal body of Christ. That was their answer, was diversity. So what the Lord prayed for on the cross, oneness, and the consistent pattern given to us to keep the Lord's name and to keep the oneness. They break that in the name of diversity. That's just like Mrs. Jones saying, Mr. Jones, I like a little diversity. I just want to be Mrs. Smith. It's just diversity. Don't be offended. That's what they're saying. They're justifying it, saying diversity. Come on. Oh, what we have is so precious. What we have is so precious, sisters.
Right.
The ground of oneness.
Amen.
This keeps us in oneness with all the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And we're open to all genuine believers. Whether they're in the Catholic Church, whether they're in Protestantism, we meet as the church to be open to them and to one another. And to stand for the Lord's testimony of oneness.
Right.
And to not deny his name.
Amen.
We want to be faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
And then I'll go down to point C. There's, like I said, there's nothing negative. There's no negative point made about the church in Philadelphia.
Right.
But there is a charge. Sisters, there is a charge.
Yeah.
Let's not relax and say, we're fine. And I was reading a verse in Daniel. When the Antichrist comes, it says he will come upon those who are complacently secure.
Wow.
Are you complacently secure? Don't be so complacently secure in Philadelphia. Don't say, we're on the ground of oneness. We have the Lord's name, and I'm keeping the Lord's word.
Wow.
I'm all set. No. Because he says, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one would take your crown. So sisters, this is one of my burdens in this message, is that, here at this conference and in the church life, we're not out to try to make up new things, right? We're not trying to make up our own things. We want to go back to the beginning, right? God's word, and be faithful to the Lord. So what we're here to do is not to make up something new, but it's just to hold fast to what we have.
Amen.
So let's read the word. Let's stay on the ground of oneness with the church, with the saints,
Amen.
Many of whom have so much experience. And let's hold fast to that.
Amen.
Hold fast to what you have.
Amen.
That is my charge to you, sisters. What you have is so special. I grew up in Thyatira. I went through it. I did the confession to priests and the communion. I did all that. And then I was eventually in the Protestant church as some. I know what it's like. And, sisters, what we have is so, so precious.
Amen.
I gained nothing by coming here. And I mean that in a good way. I gained nothing. It wasn't because of the people were better. It wasn't because I gained a position. It wasn't because I liked the band. There is no band. It wasn't because I liked the light show at the church in Arlington. There's no light show. The only thing I gained is Christ in the church.
Amen.
And that's worth it all. Everything else is dung. It's all not worth it. That's why I came here. And that's why all of us should stay here and hold fast to what we have.
Amen.
And the last thing I'd just like to share real quick is, even though there's not a negative word to Philadelphia, still consider there still is a call for overcomers.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting?
You would think, wow, the Recovered Church, nothing negative. Oh, they all must be overcomers. Nope, they're not. So that should be a word of warning and a word of encouragement to press on, to pursue individually and with one another, to hold fast what we have in the church life.
Amen.
Hold fast so that we would be overcomers. And the result of holding fast to what we have in the recovery, being faithful to what we have, is that we will be transformed. In these last part of these verses, the overcomers there, they'll be pillars.
Yeah.
Be transformed. What is a pillar for? It's for God's building.
Amen.
We're not here just to be spiritual and happy in ourselves. We're here to build the church
right. For
God's corporate testimony.
Amen.
And then the overcomers, they have the name of God and the name of the new Jerusalem and even the Lord's new name written on them. I've never been with any other people that have talked so much about the New Jerusalem. And isn't it interesting that it's the New Jerusalem is mentioned
yes.
with this church?
Yeah.
It's because they're in the Lord's recovery.
That's
we
right.
see the goal.
Yeah. Right. Right.
We see the goal. The goal is the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Where we're dwelling in God. We're eating and drinking God. We're shining God.
Amen.
We're married to God.
Yeah.
Like Obi shared, we're full of joy with God. We're resting with God. Reigning with God.
Yeah, yeah.
You see the goal, the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So sisters, let's answer the Lord's call. The Lord is calling to you.
Amen.
You know, think about this, just real quick. He could have placed you, look at this chart. He could have placed you
right.
in the 1200s.
Yeah.
You could have been a peasant. under a lord in the feudal system. With people taking advantage of you and robbing you, and priests telling you that, you need to give more of your money. You need to give more of your money to be saved. You could have been born there. But the Lord in His mercy, He loves you so much. He foreknew you, He predestinated you, and He chose you to be born now in the time of the recovered church.
Amen.
We should be so full of thanks.
And
for the Lord's mercy and His love toward us. So sisters, may we not take for granted what we have.
Amen.
We are here in the time of the recovered church. And it's going to go on until the Lord comes back. So let's
Amen.
Hold fast to what we have.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we are on the ground of oneness.
Amen.
Oh, with your word.
Amen.
Oh, with your name.
Amen.
With the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
For the building of the church.
Amen.
Let's answer the Lord's call to be overcomers.
Amen.
The building of His church.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Very good.
The different locations, the chart there, is eventually one of the sisters needs to take it with you, related to Whirly Ball. Anyway, again, keep the schedule. Afternoon, right? Make sure to be back in time for the time at 5:00 and continue to enjoy the Lord and